Hello, dear heart. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in.
A beautiful human, so let's during the Rahui or lockdown period of COVID. So this is a legacy recording. What inspired me to talk to Harold has not changed. I respect and honor him for the wisdom he offers. He's a straight shooter. I know for a lot of people, hearing from non-Māori practitioners can bring up a lot within you. This is part of the reason I asked Harold to talk, because it's a discussion we have a lot as part of Akutura Whānui, our Māori healing training with both Māori who maybe feel a little bit disconnected from culture or grew up in Australia and didn't have that opportunity to connect with their tūranga waewae, their place to stand, their marae whānau. That's part of the reason that I wanted to speak with Harold. Some of my first students aren't Māori and divine practitioners. I respect them so much. I honour the work they've done. I've received beautiful sessions from them and also a lot of good feedback from their clients. And for me, that healing of the world is really important. So I am glad to be able to share him with you. I am a person who really respects those from other cultures who want to learn about Māori healing. And for non-Māori people, Aboriginal people from Australia or white people here, Wajala, who have chosen to learn Māori healing, this for me was part of my curiosity at this time with this particular interview. As you'll be gathering over these podcasts, over these discussions, I am someone who's so curious about the world and the different minds and energies and ways of thinking that we have. I'm so aware that what I know and guide and share is only the tip of the iceberg. And for me, this was a really beautiful discussion. I love the way we wove and how it's gone. So please enjoy. For those who are listening, Harold, a Māori trained healer, chiropractor, and private coach, and weaves all those together in a healing modality that he shares. And you're based in
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. It's cool to chat. It feels like a lifetime since we talked to us, actually.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. I'm actually looking here. We haven't chat, Gabrielle. We met on Instagram?
I think so. Yeah. One or other of us reached out.
Was following what the other was posting probably, what, a year ago? And the people that are listening, are they practitioners and clients?
Trying to frame the questions. They're largely directed towards practitioners because I want to lift people into, well, first realizing that they're their own healer, but secondly, opening people to that understanding of what it does mean to be a practitioner as they step into that space, because that's something I felt I desired largely.
And by the way, for everybody listening, if you sense just a little fatigue in me or a little sarcasm, I am always playful, but I'm just a little ripe. It's the end of the week and I'm a little crispy with fatigue. So don't hold it against me.
I can't remember exactly how we connected, but what draws me to you in terms, especially when I started training, was that a lot of the people I'm training here in Australia aren't Māori healers. So no, we're not Indigenous, or that people, some half of the people training Indigenous to New Zealand, but they're from Australia. And I think it called for people to have a different perspective that's not the purely, we would say, kaupapa or tikanga, which is the Indigenous perspective of way of thing. And just hear how you experience the healing. So share a little bit about you, your journey, how you got into whatever comes for.
For those who see me, I might have a tan, but I am not Maori. I'm 48 now. I started this work, learning this work, when I was 29. When the student arrives, the teacher will appear. And that is true. And that's happened a few times in my life. So quite frankly, shit was hitting the fan in my life when I was 29. A lot of stuff was going down. I'm a chiropractor by degree. The guy I was working for was committing insurance fraud and doing really weird shit, dragged me into it, which created a lot of anxiety and fear when he got busted. So they started looking at anybody associated with him. That had me freaked out. I was a brand new chiropractor, brand new license. And so I was having this anxiety attack in my office. I had this anxiety like, oh shit, this is going to come back to haunt me. And I went to this woman at the request of my buddy, Jeff. He had spoke about this woman before. Well, he'd be just coming back from his appointment with this woman that I'm talking about, who is his therapist, but she would be adjusting his neck. And I'd be like, what the hell? Chiropractors, just for those that don't know, we're very proprietary. Like, we don't like non-chiropractors doing adjustments like that, because then something goes wrong and we get busted for it. You know, I would adjust his back. I said, well, what about your neck? He's like, oh, my therapist already did it. And so he explained who she was for like a brief second. I dismissed it. And then one day, back to the story where I'm having this anxiety attack, and I had this cathartic experience where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so screwed. I need to go see that woman. She could teach me what she does. By the time I lose my license, I'll be just proficient enough to start doing this work. That literally is this voice, what it said to me. I picked up the phone. I called my buddy Jeff, and he's laughing at me. I'm like, Jeff, I'm having anxiety. He said, I've been telling her about you for a year. Me, why? And he would say, oh, I have this crazy chiropractor friend, Harold, you should teach. He's just nutty enough to learn this work. So I'm like, whatever, Jeff, give me her number. So I went to go see her the very next morning. You know, never been to a therapist, a talking therapist, never had massage or body work. I went to go see her at her home, and she was just this white woman who I thought was just going to talk to me and then do this body work. Oh, she asked me basic questions about my life. It was not very profound, Gabrielle. I was not very articulate. And she'd ask me, was I happy? Did I like my business partner? Did I like what I was doing? I swear, I was just not used to somebody intimately asking me these questions, because that's not how I grew up. And she would sip her cappuccino, finish her toast. And then by the time we were done with our lack of a conversation, she's like, you want to come up on the table? I said, sure. She's like, well, like, what if the work is really intense? And I said, no problem. I'm an athlete by nature, very physical. And so she said, well, what if it should hurt? And I go, yeah, no problem. I have a high pain tolerance. She's like, well, that might not be such a good thing, but okay. So I jumped up on the table, and I don't even remember when she worked on my backside at all. But when she flipped me on my front, there's this woman standing over me and like over my face, and she's going to start working on my jaw. Well, she starts getting into my jaw, Gabrielle, and like maybe she's inches from my face, and she has got her thumbs cranking in there, and I'm like turning into the fucking Hulk. But I didn't cry and I didn't scream, but I was swelling. And I got up off the table, put my shirt on, and started heading down her gravelly driveway. And I felt like I was floating across the driveway, and I can hear the crunching of the stones on her driveway. And I was like, oh, why didn't I cry or scream? And my body in it immediately registered, that's not good. And so I looked over my shoulder and I looked back at her and I said, hey, see you next week. And she said, yep. I ended up going back every week for 5 years straight. I'm a very athletic, very physical person, handling everything with my body. I'm a very sensitive person, but I was not very good at expressing my feelings verbally. That was my weakness. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm a tough guy, but if I had a verbal disagreement with somebody and they called my mother a name, like, it would just be a fight. I just didn't have that. But I realized out of this body work that I was very proficient at the physicality, but my passion was in the emotional aspect of healing. And I quickly realized I was very good at connecting the two worlds. I could connect how someone is stuck emotionally and energetically and how it relates to every area of their physical life. I could just see it, whether it's their career, money, relationships, their health, whatever was going on, I saw, oh, okay, this is what's going on emotionally and energetically. No wonder why this is going on with this area of their physical life. So for the sake of the practitioner, the mentorship was technique and getting worked on. That's how you learn the work. You have to get worked on. You cannot just learn the technique.
Yeah. Do you think we can hold for our client the depth of what we've held for ourselves in a way, which is like how the getting worked on interrelates?
Yeah, to the depth that we receive the work, we're able to hold the space for other people, for sure. That's the exact relationship to how the work goes. To the level that we've worked through things, we have the ability to do that with others and see it in others. Just to bridge the gap for anybody listening. So that first teacher was my teacher for about 5 years. I lost my license for the sake of a fun story. I ended up losing my chiropractic license from 2003 to 2007. That premonition was correct. I fought to keep it. I lost it for 4 years. It was the worst time in my heart was totally broken. My identity was totally fractured. I was going to see that teacher for major intensive therapy, mostly through the body work. So much was pouring out of me. The depth that I was doing the work on was insane. Her daughter and her son would hear me in the house from the guest house like plenty of times. Oh, those were the good old days. So I did 5 years of intensive cathartic work, just pouring out all the shit. And what soon looked like just healing with the devastation of losing my license ended up looking back toward my growing up, and all that came out in the wash too. So she retired. She was done cold turkey. Soon as I got back my license in 2007, she retired. She was done. A year later, I ended up meeting the Maori. So that's all I knew. And I knew about their relationship very intimately, 25 years of learning from this guy. And now she's teaching me. That's all I knew. Till one day, a year later, when my teacher retired, I have a mentor who only does talking. And he asked what I did for a living. I told him, and he goes, oh, you do Maori healing. Holy shit. He goes, oh God, I had that done. I screamed bloody murder. And he said, yeah, they put sticks in you and they jam this in you and you scream and cry. Basically, I never heard the word Maori healing. So I went home, I went into YouTube, I typed in Maori healing, and there was this one video at the time, one video, and it was a well-produced, looks like documentary trailer to these indigenous people. And it was Atta, Terrence, and Manu and Papa Joe. So I wrote the woman who made that. She just happened to be 10 minutes from me. And she met me for coffee. And I basically asked her, like, who are these people? She said, it's the Maori. Why don't you go see them? They'll be here in Topanga in 2 weeks. So I went. The cultural aspect. I didn't know where my work came from. I just thought it was from my teacher and from her teacher. So one day I show up to a session in Topanga, this large room. I was taught one-on-one, and I do it one-on-one. But then I show up to this big room, 4 or 5 practitioners, 4 or 5 people on the table or on the floor with Terrence, 4 or 5 people that just got off the table, 4 or 5 people waiting to get on, babies walking back and forth. It was a party. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? I look more shocked than I really am. Atta said, hey, have you had body work like this? I said, yeah, 5 years. I do it for a living. It's really, really intense. She's like, great, you'll go with my son. So I went on the floor. Terrence worked on me. Really intense. Not so different from my teacher. The moves were different. The effect was the same. And I sat up against the wall and it just hit me. I go, this is where the work comes from. These are my people, and that's that. It clicked.
Do you find learning the body work on one hand, but also the cultural aspect of it, that is a piece of it, or you can hold them separate?
Wow. Oh, man. Well, my first teacher was American.
Yeah.
So, but with Manu and Atta, who are Maori, what I feel when I learn from them, they have different personalities, first of all. Even Terrence, Atta's son, So the three of them I'll just speak of, like the Maori, those are my three teachers. They have very different personalities. So I have it in a couple different levels. I feel it where there's personality differences in how they teach. There's the technique. And then there's this like dreamy aspect to like the culture, like what's appropriate, what's not, what moves are appropriate for the feminine, the masculine, what's not. There's some certain technical stuff that I can get straight answers to, but then there's a cultural aspect to an American. I'm not typical, but I can feel the cultural teaching too get woven in where there's some sort of sense or feeling that I have to start to understand the way the Maori talk about their land, nature. To Americans, typically it's like, huh? Like, what? How does that have to do with the technique? So there's a gap, right? There's a gap, a big gap there. So for me, I'm always going, what are they saying?
Many non-Māori or non-Indigenous people will relate to that. Like we constantly talk about our tīpuna or our ancestors, right? And they'll be like, I don't even know where it's from. Where's my land from?
Or elders.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I have to check in with the elders if that's okay. I'm like, what? Yeah, exactly. So all those things.
I guess for me, because I grew up within the culture, so my brain can't conceptualize this practice without that. So that's why I'm so curious about how other people receive it. And I've seen within my own trainees, they are amazing. And because they don't have some of the cultural dogma, sometimes it's baggage that we
practice. I obviously learned the work for 5 years without that. All I knew was that my teacher studied for over 25 years from her teacher, who was this very talented guy, American guy, chiropractor, if you will, who primarily did this intense body work. It was an amalgam, a mixture of influences. That's when more of the culture started to, in the way the Maori are, without even saying anything, the rhythm of their body is different than mine. And so being Indigenous, being from New Zealand, I could just feel the difference in rhythm. And that alone is a teaching.
Can you expand on that?
I'm very sensitive, and it would be like if someone hung out with a Buddhist master who their energy was just so serene, you would be put off because you vibrate at a certain level and they're vibrating at a much slower level. You would be disconcerted because the reflection energetically coming back at you would cause you probably some panic. Like, how is they that calm? You'd like it on one part, but another part that would connect you emotionally and energetically in a different way than what you're used to. Being around the Maori were like that for me, where I recognized their rhythm in the way that they walked, talked, and worked was grounded, very grounded, but could work at very deep levels too, extremely intense, but grounded, and then laugh and play at the same time. Not serious, but then serious in a second, and then back to play. And then back to singing, and then back to being cheeky and joking. And I could feel in their bodies, their rhythm of how they were. I could feel that there was teaching for me to extract and learn from beyond any words that they were using. You know, what did you say? The land, their sea, the elders, entities. None of these words were in my vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because for us, like Papatūānuku Tangaroa, like they're living essences, the land and the sea, they're actually living essences that dance with us every day. And that's not a concept that Western people have.
You know, there's Westerners who are very into wildlife and nature. Mm. They would have a stronger connection with that language, but that's very specific to them. I go to the beach. I go hiking. I spend time in the mountain, but it's very different than the way the Maori talk about that relationship. It's way more sacred. It's way more of an intimate healing connection. I'm miles from that connection. So to answer your question for people listening in the longest way, yes, you can learn the work without that. But it's just a different depth and relationship.
That's so true. And this is just me voicing my concern, I guess, and the trainer would be that if I didn't share that, that I hadn't done my job in communicating that, even though obviously people still have the shifts and the experiences on the same way. Similar to how you can't help but weave the chiropractic, I can't help but weave my culture. It just has to be there and it's part of it, you know. It's beautiful in that way that, yeah, we all bring all these essences and in that way the practice evolves, right? It becomes this moving, alive thing. And I love that. I think that's really beautiful.
It's specific to you.
Yeah. And how do you find that people that respond to the work?
They respond well. Physical pain is not a popular concept. It's not. The work is challenging. And like I say to people, I've had hundreds of bodywork sessions, so intense, I wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. I love it. That was my passion to learn it at that depth. But what I tell them is, if I got worked on right now, right next to you, we would both be challenged in the same degree. I've had hundreds. This would be your first. You would be just as scared as I would be. I just am more used to the feeling, and it would be way more intense. But the challenge would be the same. So we're all challenged, whatever, 2-3% more than our comfort zone. And that's where the magic happens. You know, I do a talk type therapy for a living as well. I talk with my client. I have only talk sessions sometimes. People can see in therapy in LA, Los Angeles, as one can imagine, is very popular, talk therapy. But the idea of going to the body to receive a kind of an emotional, energetic therapy is unique. And that is my specialty in showing people that difference. So you can talk circles around a therapist. You can avoid talking about certain things, but when you're on the table, there's no, you got to be really special to avoid it. The body work, there's something special in that where it just connects you with the source of your conflict really fast, bypasses your cognitive languaging. It just goes, bypasses that and goes straight to the source of your emotional issue through the physicality. People can be a little sensitive to the depth of it. So as my mentor would say, oh, Harold's, he calls me Maori light, like Diet Coke, Maori light. Because he would explain to people, it's like the black ops of body work. It's very intense and it's not for everybody. And then he would say, Harold sort of westernizes it and he's Maori-like, meaning I sort of train people in getting used to it and wanting more of it and getting comfortable. The Maori weren't exactly like that for many years. It was like, you're getting thrown in the deep end, swim. But just to explain to people, and I don't know, maybe to you, Gabrielle, things have changed a lot. Like Ata and Manu changed a lot over the years because people got the point faster. They didn't need it so deep, unless there was something specific. I met the Maori after Papa Joe passed, just after he passed. So the beginning days, it was very intense. And people were laughing hysterically and raging and crying. And it was powerful. Over the last 10 years, the depth of the work didn't need to be so strong for people to get the point.
Yeah, and I've seen that as well with our generation on people who are practicing. Most of us have incorporated some element of talk therapy to allow people to change their thinking at the same time as they're having the releases. You have a lasting effect just from the body work, for sure. But lots of people would be trained to understand what the frick happened to me, right? And I find by day doing the both or being like, I've got this, like some word on the table, like coaching them on the table, the release can also be bigger, which was definitely not my experience. I feel like my practice is a little bit more nurturing than I was first introduced to when I first began receiving.
That's just who you are. So like I said, it's always for any practitioner or a new practitioner, it's like, there's no right way. Your personality is going to be integrated into your practice. And you will have a clientele who comes to you because of that. There's something unique to you, like you're way more nurturing, then that's going to be a part of your practice and people will come because of it.
But I definitely, when you were speaking about those quick shifts, I definitely relate to that. I can be really nurturing and then I'm like, but I feel myself shift into this, like, I can't, like, I can't jump into that archetype now, but it's a bit like boss lady, you know, like,
is that the Maori?
With this ship that shit.
That's the Maori side to you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Especially as a gay woman socialized to be soft and, oh, it's okay, come on, blah, blah, blah. But actually the thing that's going to shift is you stepping into that more.
Yeah, being women, just being in their feminine, and I'm no authority or have a credibility. This is just my opinion, so forgive me. Being nurturing is great and it could have its benefit, but the feminine can be strong. So, I mean, I'm more dominant in my feminine energy as a guy. I have masculine energy. It's strong, but like I lead with my feminine energy, but like nurturing somebody can look different. I mean, you could be enabling somebody if you're being soft with them when they're full of shit. That's not going to help them. That doesn't look good in you or them. If that's your Maori side that wants to cut the bullshit.
Yeah, totally. I find that it's something I often have to talk to my mentors about. It's like, I don't have very much patience for bullshit.
That doesn't sound like a problem to me.
But sometimes with clients, it's like, that's the first few sessions of just cutting through that. And it can be, for me, I'm just really like impatient with it.
As my mentor says, patience is the ability to put up with large amounts of bullshit before you do or say something about it. That's what the culture thinks is patient. That's not patient. No, that's great. Not putting up with bullshit, that's not nurturing. That's enabling.
How do you find the things people release on the table can be sometimes quite old trauma that they haven't even thought about in years or voice to anyone and it comes up in that moment? How do you find for the practitioners that we hold that well for them and honoring that?
Trauma healing is my specialty. It's my passion. I like the subject. I think you're asking me how the practitioner deals with all the emotions that come off of the clients. That's one of my favorite subjects because what do people call it? An empath. I constantly have to work on not taking that on. That is easier said than done for me. This is a very deep subject for me. But the simple answer is, depending on the practitioner, I could probably think of 50 things I do to clear my energy, to deal with that stuff, that subject, to not have it get on me, how to take it off. What do I need to do to protect myself beforehand? Knowing the type of client I'm about to see and getting ready for that energy, it's very specific. Let's say they have a lot of victim mentality. It's almost like you have to put on a little armor. You can't just go in blindly. If you know an energy that you're going into a session with, you need to prepare, especially depending on the type of person and practitioner you are. You can't just go into a gunfight without a gun. You have to be prepared. This is some intense energy. Be ready. I'm not saying you're going to be this weird, aggressive thing. No. Just be prepared. My mom and dad would hate this, but like, I never go to see them without preparing to see them. I know certain energies that I'm going to get. And it's like, okay, I love them dearly, but like, eesh, I have to watch out for it. That's a very intense subject for the practitioner, depending on how sensitive. Those energies that come off people are no joke. Yeah. Depending on how deep the release is, regardless of how deep the work is, but how deep the release is, that energy is toxic. It could really sap your life force. Sometimes I'm feeling things in my body. Something's happening, but I can't put to words. So I'm working on that connection of what I am feeling and being able to connect to it, put it to words, identify it and put it to words, and then communicate it in one way or another. I've been doing this a long time. I'm still learning that connection. Like, what is happening to me? What the fuck is going on? Is this my sadness? Is it theirs? I'm going through a hard time. Is it me? Is it them? I'm like, shit. It's that kind of a thing. So for instance, I remember this woman, this older lady, and she's laying down. She's not a usual client of mine. She's much older, but she loves me and she shows up weekly. And so she's on my table And I'm sitting at my chair right at the head of the table and have the back of her occiput. Just my fingers are there, just kind of grounding her and letting her sit down, lay down for a minute and breathe in the beginning of our session. And I swear to God, nothing makes me want to get up out of that chair. I'm like so tired. I like, just kill me. I'm like, what is wrong? I have no idea. Until one day I said, hey, so-and-so, how are you doing emotionally? I think she said something like, I don't know. I think sad. And then something clicked. I'm like, she's grieving. She's compartmentalized in her feelings. They're so buried. My body is picking up on that activity. And I am going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she started to talk about it and connect to it, my energy started coming right back. But as a new practitioner, even seasoned, depending on who you are and what you struggle with, I had no idea.
Totally. It's interesting because I do a volunteer shift at a cancer care place, body work, an afternoon fortnightly. And when you were talking, I was like, oh my God, because I get way more tired working there. Like I can work here at home all day and I don't get tired.
Then, it's the resistance.
Yeah.
It's the resistance in people that causes the fatigue. When people start releasing, fuck no, I'm not tired.
Yeah. It
gives me energy. It's inspiring. It's when somebody is resisting that I'm falling asleep. It's the resistance that's exhausting. It's happening in them. And now I'm feeling it. Now, when I talk with people, maybe part of my special skill is I can hear where things are stuck auditorially. So when they speak in my ear, I can hear energetically where things are dissonant, emotionally and energetically. So I can feel what's going on in people really fast. But the body work is a whole other story where it's a different connection that causes the practitioner to be tired. And that resistance could be intense.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced it with other clients, but I guess there it's more in a row.
I wonder how that might be related to the condition.
Sure. Yeah, that is interesting.
For instance, we're talking about the body work. The body work is designed to address that resistance. Depending on how much you want to fight, the work can be more intense. That's a very basic way of explaining it.
Well, in my experience, there's no perfect way to explain this work because it is so different for each person. But even though we might be doing the same moves and like the releases have pattern, the way that each person has woven energy within their body and the way that their body releases the thing they are holding is so same, but also different. So there isn't an easy way to explain it, I don't think.
People always ask me like what I do for work. So it depends on the client and the situation, how much time I have. You know, most people have had a massage where it feels and it works their muscles. But it's not specifically designed to connect them with their feelings. This work is designed to help you connect the physicality of the move of the massage to your emotional body. Especially Westerners, I will just talk trash about us just because it's fun. But a lot of people, no matter where you're from, have it separated. They have whatever's going on in their mind and their emotions and whatever's going on in their body, two different things. So the body work helps bridge that gap and connect where it helps them feel what's going on deeper aspects on an emotional level and how that's relating to different aspects of their physical body that are hurting. You keep getting worked on, it peels these layers back off the body where you start to connect more intimately with deeper layerings of the body and what's going on with you energetically and emotionally. So much so that a part of this work is kind of trauma healing related, where if you have certain aspects of your life or your physical body that aren't working very well and you don't know why, typically it's some unresolved trauma stuck in the body. So while you are getting worked on this type of massage and your emotions are starting to be engaged, you start to connect to unresolved emotional traumas that are stuck in certain areas of your body. that's by design of the work, and typically not just the moves, but the practitioner's intention is for that to happen.
I've always wondered, I think it would be so juicy to receive an adjustment after. How do people respond to that?
For the most part, it's just natural. Some people have reservations about physical adjustments, manipulation. No, why? With you, do you do adjustments?
Occasionally, but not as a regular thing.
Atta wasn't so hit when, for everybody who's listening, you know, one of my teachers who's Maori, and I understood it. I really saw it, you know, with my teacher in her environment, when she's doing her work with her energy, my physical adjustments are an interruption in what she's trying to accomplish. But with my clients and my energy, this is just normal.
Yeah.
We got into trouble. Me and Manu, another teacher of mine who's since passed away about a year ago, who was my other teacher, Atta's sort of side. We got into trouble because Manu just liked seeing me adjust clients. So he would work on them in their sessions. And then he would go, Harold, do this part. He'd either want me to free something and do it, you know, a manipulation in that way that they needed some structural healing, or he wanted me to feel that there was a problem there. So we used to get into trouble. We were very cheeky with each other because Atta would be like, what are you boys doing over there?
One question that I have here, which I've been asking people, is did you have a journey towards owning the label of a healer? But I know that you don't technically use that term. But do you see yourself as a healer?
What?
Is it more a body worker for you?
Healer, no. Body worker, sure. Chiropractor, sure. I don't know what I necessarily call myself. I know what I do. A healer, no. Because, well, even a chiropractic, you know, you don't use that word. The healer is not the practitioner. The practitioner is the facilitator. Healing doesn't come from the practitioner. Healing comes from within. The power that made the body heals the body, as chiropractors would say. So you can interpret that in any language or any healing modality, but the body is always healing itself, right?
Yeah.
The body is always healing itself. Even if you never go to any practitioner, the body is always healing itself. It's doing the best it can with what it's got. Now, if it's put in its proper position or alignment because something happened, it could work more optimally, but it's always healing itself. So the facilitator helps optimize that healing. Healers, it's a weird word. So facilitator of healing, yes. But that doesn't have a ring to it. At least for me, that's how I think about it.
Yeah, totally.
What about you? How do you think about it?
Well, I've been through a whole journey. I've been calling myself a healing artist. So it's like the art of healing, learning all the different modalities. But
what?
So that's the term I use. But I've been more comfortable with the term healer of late, as I think I've been integrating that label and that name. And I totally always see it as a co-creation. The healing energy couldn't be channeled through without me. But it also couldn't be channeled through if the client's not co-creating with me, if they're resisting. Neither of us is doing any healing. It's not present.
Well, a couple things. Why don't you just call yourself Maori healer?
Me? Because I relate to being Maori and non-Maori because my mom's not Maori. So I try to bridge both.
But is it a distinction, Maori healer? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah. So I train Māori healing, and I do work with Rumirumi and Mirimiri, which are the types of healing.
Well, like people say, Harold, what do? I would say Māori trained healer and body worker and chiropractor, but I'm not Māori.
For me, I guess similar to this discussion we had earlier around being Māori, and all of us are healers. Like, we're taught healing from a really young age. So everyone, even if we're not trained in the specific moves, the actual way of healing, a way of doing the wider around the way we live is taught from a really young age. So I don't see that as something that's specific to me.
You're half and half.
Yeah, totally, totally. I'm half and half. And, you know, you would have seen this many times, like how we open is very much acknowledging all the things that have made you you and acknowledging all the energies that are contributing to that. And so for me, in doing that, I don't feel like comfortable to use the word I'm a Māori healer, because I feel as if I've got so many influences that aren't purely Māori. Yeah, the foundation of what I do is that. Yeah, the technique is that, for sure. But there's so much more in terms of like who I'm mihi to, who I acknowledge that isn't that.
You know, of course I understand. I understand. I'm just listening to how both personally, maybe how you have conflict and your cultural way that you talk about things. But even the way I explain that, there might be a cultural difference between Westerner and Maori, Australia, that area. You might hear it differently.
I think many things we do. It's interesting because when you say about that conflict, I feel like that for me has been a large part of my conflict in stepping into this work, is like my skin color and that I don't look as Māori as like other people that practice it and things like that. Like, that's totally,
you don't deserve, you know, the label and the title.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
Like, to that title either. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I relate to
artist.
For me, like, these discussions are good discussions to have as an Indigenous person, you know.
No, but you have a conflict of being half.
Yeah.
Whether it's your right or you deserve or something like that.
No, I don't feel that. I think that I feel an obligation to honor my Indigeneity, so my, like, my Māori heritage. I feel a conflict with my Western way of being that is more individualized and then the more collective and Māori teachings. Not when I'm doing the work by any means, but in the process of discussing and sharing, those pieces can be fighting a little bit. I don't actually feel half. I feel more blessed than most people, to be honest. Like, I feel more, like, for sure. I got more than most people.
Well, you got training from the world.
Yeah, I feel
integration process. There's some healing to do in integrating the two worlds. You have two different cultures that you're brought up with.
Totally.
It's a powerful healing for you specifically to go through.
But all of us, like all of us who are Māori, actually, because we all grew up within two cultures. So we all grew up within a Western style work, like, country that was influenced by Māori. But at the time of us growing up, it was predominantly Western. So we understand the Western world very well, but the Western world doesn't understand us very well.
There's integration process for probably everybody.
I feel that. In my journey, the more of things that I do, or the way when I'm in resonance with how I describe things, it's like that cuts out an energetic loss happening in my work. So if I'm not, like, getting wrapped up, if someone asks me what I do and I can explain it really clearly, the energy is not stirring and then going out towards my own ego or my own concerns rather than I'm just concerned with that person.
I had to integrate chiropractor with Maori trained healer. I had to break up my identity when I lost my license. It fractured my identity as a chiropractor. I was very new as a chiropractor, so it made it a little easier, but I was very proud to be called one, to be a part of this sort of group. Love being a chiropractor. I still do at my heart, but I don't have an identity as being a chiropractor. I don't really even have an identity as being a Maori trained healer. There's no confusion or conflict. It was intense before. Wait, what do I do with people? How do I charge them? So I charge by the hour. I used to charge not by the hour. Adjustments were 15 minutes. An exam was 30 minutes. X-rays were this amount of time, right? So yeah, that was a big integration period for me. So it's different. You have your own path to integration and I had mine. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. I use the word trained. Maori trained.
Yeah, whereas like for me, it's been a lifestyle. Like, I've lived it my whole life. So I'm not necessarily trained, but I am trained. That doesn't relate to me. Do you know what I mean? For me, training's a very Western concept. And I don't feel like being trained in a Western way in this work at all.
It works for me.
I've used it as an example for the non-Māori Chinese that I have as a way that I could describe it, because I think it's in a Western way and honoring not being Indigenous, not being Māori.
Exactly.
A beautiful way to do that. So I love it.
Branding-wise, for people who are always wanting to know, what do you do? Who are you? Oh, you're not a, I don't know, a chiropractor. You know, they always want to know, put you in a box so they can visualize what you do. So it sounds very unique. Well, that captured in the Western world, it would be different out by you. It would be another thing, more familiar. But here, it has more of a, it attracts intrigue. What's that? So now there's a level of like attraction. That's all I'm looking for in a certain way. Intrigue or curiosity to spark someone in a certain way. So people are like, wait, what? I said, well, think like deep tissue massage, but you're also going to see your therapist at the same time through this body work. Really? I said, yeah, my clients, they laugh and they cry and they get pissed when I work on them. And it's like an all-inclusive therapy, all in one. I was just thinking about the people listening to this, like new practitioners or people who have been studying for a while.
And on that point, I think that business side of it, as a practitioner, deciding on how to charge and all that, is there anything you can think of that would support them from that place of maybe not feeling that they could charge?
I mean, I've been doing this for so many years, but I'm thinking about new practitioners or that conflict. You know, as you continue to receive the work and heal internally, especially value, where you value who you are and what you do, whether you do it for $80 or $8, or you want to give a complimentary session, you know the value of it for yourself. And typically, yeah, you want to charge for what you do. The healthier I got, the more I started to charge, better I got at the technique, the more I started to charge. I followed my teacher's structure and then started to make it my own. That's typically how you start.
Yeah, I watched a thing last night where you were talking about doing media therapy and maybe not feeling comfortable talking or sharing about the work or things like that. Do you have any advice on that for others or want to talk into that space?
That's a long journey. How do I promote myself? How did I get my first client? How do I continue to get clients? I was not very comfortable in the beginning. I mean, I was going through a horrific time in my life. I was emotionally a mess. And I could do what I do better than I could talk about it. So I'll tell your people this. I could do what I do better than I could speak about it. That languaging started to get stronger in my communication skills. But that was, you know, sharing what I felt. Communicating that effectively was not my strength. I handled everything physically. So I could do what I do better than I spoke about it. Marketing myself wasn't very good publicly. I was going through a horrific time of grief and sadness. So, you know, I lost my license. I've been learning this sort of body work therapy. What do I call myself? Do I say chiropractor anymore? I was so fucked up. So I could do what I do better than I could speak about it. Everybody starts with their sort of strength. Some people are very good on speaking on camera, on Instagram or Facebook, and they do videos and they talk about their work. Some people are very comfortable in front of a camera. Some people are not in the beginning. That's something I have to work on, or creatively I work on it, but that was not my specialty. So everybody's going to build their practice with their clientele in a different way that's particular to them. There's no right way. But I will say, once again, it's going to sound cliche, but it's based on who you're being. So if who you're being is, I guess, in alignment or coming from a good place, people just seem to be attracted to you. So that's why being worked on is really important for a long time. I always know that if I keep my head out of my ass and I'm not like effed up with things that are bothering me in my life, and I work on, I can do nothing about it going up there. But if I'm committed to keeping my head out of my ass and free and open, people seem to be attracted to me. They want to know about my work. But when I'm in a dark place and things are caving in and I'm not doing well, things close down, people cancel appointments. And I know that relationship my entire career. So my commitment is always in who I am being and healing and opening, and the rest takes care of themselves. Sure, right. I practice certain things, communicating, you know, what I do for a living, that helps without just bursting into tears. I don't know what I do. So I would even say to them, look, I'm way better doing what I do rather than talking about what I do. Here's my card. Look at my website. I've said that before. I've said all kinds of things. And as long as I was being really genuine and honest about where I was at and not trying to hide my anxiety or whatever it was, it worked for anybody new. You're going to build your practice, you know, specific to you. You might have strengths that Gabrielle and I don't have. You're a new student and you're amazing on Instagram and Facebook and you love being on camera and you want to talk about your journey being mentored by Gabrielle. Great. Start putting videos together about what you learned that day. Oh, I learned this new technique. Oh, this is what I realized about myself. Catch you next week, guys. Well, for those who want appointments, here's my phone number. You can start building a following that, I mean, I'm not good at that.
There's two things I love that in what you said. And one is work to your strengths, amplify your strengths, because we all have different ones. And so then we'll serve more people in general. The flow on effect will be awesome. And the second is, I want to use the body word, but the wider world will always take care of it, which means the way your spirit talks and vibrates will automatically guide the people towards you. So if we're now similar to how we're talking earlier about clearing, the more clear we are, we're going to feel that internal strength. And they're like, yes, there's something for me. And that's beyond words. It doesn't actually matter what we say.
You nailed it. So the clients that have come to see me had nothing to do with my explanation. It always had to do with who I was being. And they just were attracted to me in some way. Or my therapist sucks. I think I need somatic, we call it a somatic healing. I need something from my body. I could feel I'm holding on to something. Great.
Is there anything you want to share either about your practice, how people can connect with you, or any messages that come through to you before we close?
Certainly, if you're in LA, feel free to reach out. I'm sure Gabrielle will put my name of my Instagram or something. You could write to me if you're ever in LA. Whoever goes to see Gabrielle or is being mentored by her, you're in good hands. You're going to do this work if you have a passion for it. If you don't have a passion for it, we're going to find out really fast, because doing this work is not for people who don't have a passion for it, because it's not easy to deal with client after client, week after week, with people who are dealing with some, especially these days, some intense things. And conversely, if you're passionate about it, just keep leaning into healing yourself, learning the technique, learning some skills of maybe how to, you know, market yourself and things like that. But like, you'll keep figuring it out. And besides, what's the alternative? If it's your passion, like it was mine, you'll just keep figuring it the fuck out.
Yeah. And the teacher will appear when you need it.
Teachers, you know, different things that could help you with any shortcomings that you struggle with. But if you have a passion for it, that will account for pretty much all of it. But like I said, what's the alternative? So just stop complaining, just keep healing, keep at it, and your practice will grow, and make it your own. Make your practice your own. Do not try to fit into the mold of what somebody else does. That won't work. And including your personality, not just your technique, but your personality. Your clientele will be attracted to you if you're being congruent in alignment with who your personality is specific to you. So if you're a jokester, you're a jokester. If you're serious, you're serious. If you're nurturing, you're nurturing. If you're a ball buster, like, you have to be congruent with your personality. So it's not just your technique, but who you're being. You want, if this work is channeled, it will start to channel. It'll start to come through you. You don't, anything that's not congruent, you're going to have a problem. And that's the healing you have to continue to do. So just let your passion, you know, continue to light the way. God, I sound like that. Terrible.
You sound like channeling me.
I'm like, yep, I'm tired. I'm tired. I gotta go.
Well,
okay, so we'll talk soon. All right, bye, everybody. Thank you for having me on.